Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Wow. Turn to somebody and say, wow. Now turn to the person that you ignored a second ago and tell them wow as well. Just say wow as well. Second fiddle. Man, you're a Christian. You don't take back seat to anybody. Don't receive that in your heart that person went that direction. You know, there might have been a dominant eye. If their left eye's dominant, they may have gone left. That might be as simple as that. Or that person on the other side of the person sitting next to you may just be better than you, all right? Super Sunday. Chiefs people in here? 49ers people in here? Anybody throw a bet down? That's a Guts group. We have fantasy football at Guts groups, and then we have betting lines in Guts groups. And if you got them, smoke them, I say at Guts Church, don't you think? It goes right with my message today about influence in your life, okay? We're in revival in this church, just so you know. All right, we're in it. I'm just telling you. Man, things are happening. The last 6 months of this year has just been overwhelming for me. Man, Sandy and I, it's every day we hear reports, we see things. Things are happening just right in front of us in real time. And it's like, oh my gosh, I remember before I was a Christian, I was a sinner. Is there anybody here you weren't raised in church that, you know, when it's like, oh, dear God. I came to this realization, to an epiphany. I'm sitting behind the wheel of my pickup truck, and I was in at one of the lowest places in my life, the second lowest place in my life, and Jesus made himself real to me. And I could have thrown up. It was like, wait, this Jesus stuff? And I thought in different terms. I even said something to the guy who was in the truck with me. I just said, this Jesus stuff's real. It really is. And I'll tell you what, now, over 40 years later, it's still real. This Jesus stuff's real. Write that down in your notes. This Jesus, that has to be our attitude. It's got to be the impulse in our life. It's funny. There's things that we impulsively think or say or see. It's got to become that impulse in our life. And I'm personally in revival right now. I know you are as well. See, and we've got to realize that, because those are the kind of things that we miss out on, because that's the invisible aspect of our lives. See, we're so tuned in to the visible aspects, and we understand that those things, a lot of them are the flesh, and all of them are temporal. See, the things we can't see, the things that are invisible, that's what is the baseline, the true baseline of our lives. That's why the three things that we're going to pound, man, we're going to pound that rock all year long. And it's revival, it's deliverance, and it's abundance. And I'll tell you, the byline to all that is, I hear the sound of abundance. Man, there's abundance in our lives. And see, what happens then is influence comes with that abundance. I'm just telling you, the fruit of abundance is influence. And the influence in your life right now is swelling. See, things are happening. Listen, some that you can see, some that you can't see. Man, I know that there's things that are happening around my life that I can't see. It's just influence building. So what do I have to do? I've got to keep up with that in my heart. I've got to stay with God's word. The world, the Bible says the world is anxiously awaiting the sons of God. That's why I was at a pastor's meeting earlier last week in Louisiana. And guys were just talking about how beaten their men were, I'm sitting there thinking, and I took my phone out and I took some notes, and man, you can look at my phone, and the notes is, I'm not pastoring a church of beaten men. I'm not pastoring a church of haggard men. I'm not pastoring a church of loser men. I'm telling you, your influence is expanding, it's swelling even right now, and that's got to become the influence. impulse your life. It's funny. Sandy and I have been married 35 years, and just this week, a couple of things happened. And she said, Bill, it's amazing the influence that just goes in front of you in your life. And I thought, oh, yeah, it does. It's amazing. It's God's favor. See, what happens, let me tell you, wives, instead of pointing out all the things in your fella, in your husband, that you, and listen, I guarantee you probably have a laundry list. Could you imagine Nina? Man, if she made a list of all the things that Jeremy, do you mind standing? That Jeremy's got to deal with in his life. I mean, oh my goodness. I don't know how she gets out of bed in the morning. But you know what? She does it. You know what she sees? She sees the favor that's on his life. And let me just tell you, here's what the word says. A man who finds a wife finds a good thing. And favor with the Lord. See, that favor just builds and builds and builds and builds. And man, you single guys in here that are believing God for a spouse or looking for a spouse or whatever it is, man, don't play the game the world plays in finding that mate, that spouse. Because the bottom line is, and this is February, it's a year we concentrate, or a month we concentrate on relationships. It's about covenant. See, and what, fellas, what you want to make covenant with is a woman that sees God's favor that's upon your life that comes with the deal you make in marriage. See, the man who finds a wife finds a good thing and favor with the Lord. See, influence is swelling in your life. I believe with everything in me. God's doing a new thing, and it's laced with influence. Oh, my gosh, and again, with those pastors, I'm sitting there and I'm reflecting upon the influence that we have as a group of people, the influence, whether we're political or not, the influence we have politically. Do you understand? We're more than just a voting block. Man, we embody God's presence on this earth. See, I believe that the world needs a strong America. And I also believe that a strong America is determined by a strong church. Man, the way the church goes is the way the country goes. See, and we've got to understand that. It's more than, I appreciate the pro-life and the march for life. I appreciate it, but it's more than all of that. It's us going to the highways and the hedges and compelling people in that his house may be full. Why? His house is a house of influence. Write that down. See, the way Sandy and I pastor this church and have for 27 years is we pastor this church the way we parent. It's the only real way we know to do it. And I look on it with a 33-year-old son and a 30-year-old daughter and a 24-year-old daughter that honestly, I see God's favor and God's touch and God's hand on their life. I see the breath of heaven, man, flowing through their lives. And let me just tell you, that's the way we pastor this church. And you've got to see yourself as that person of influence that God has carefully, fearfully, and planted in his house, in his body. Man, God's doing a new things. Man, the last 6 months, it my mind's blown. It really is. Man, when I think about what God's doing here, and it's not just Sunday, Wednesday. Man, I think about the lives that are impacted through our distribution center. Listen, through the week. Man, the traffic that goes through this property and this campus day in and day out. And everybody leaves here better than when they came. See, and that's been our prayer. Sandy and I, that's been our prayer. Almost maybe the single prayer we've had for almost 30 years of the idea of this church. Is that people leave better than when they came. People leave enriched. People leave empowered. And the past 6 months, the miracles here, the miracles in families, the miracles in health and people's, God's healing provision coming into people's lives and them just getting better. Some of them instantly, some of them just keep getting better and better. And let me tell you, I'll take both. A better is where you want to be. And see, man, the miracles in people's finances and people's businesses. See, that's what I'm looking at in 2020 is I just think that I've got to be, I don't want to say careful, but that's really the word. But if you think of a better word, drop me a note or something. But I'm really careful about what I say here because let me tell you, There's incredible businesses that are going to be launched, and a lot of them come out of these services. Just one word from God. Just people hearing something and say, yeah, you know, that really confirms something that's already on my heart. And see, that's always the Spirit of God. See, we have to realize that. Do you realize how incredibly powerful and sufficient that God's promises are? Because see, that's what's preached at this church. See, we're a community of believers. But see, that requires a little bit of specifics. That requires some definition. We're a community of believers that take a stand and put our trust in God's promise, right? That's what it is. It's not some church thing we're doing here. No, you know what we're doing? We're taking the stake of our lives and driving it into God's promise. And we've got to realize, man, how powerful and how truly sufficient God's promises are. Let's go to His Word. Man, we look at His Word in got some cheaters here. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Write that down. You'll want to go back to it. There's going to be some words that if you've got a page open in front of you or your phone open in front of you, there's going to be some words that are going to jump off that page or off that screen, and they're going to really grip your heart. And He said to me, man, remember Paul said, I inquired of the Lord 3 times. Man, if you could take this from me. Man, there's a lot of things that we could guess that Paul was requiring of the Lord to take from him. Okay? He was single, he was short, he was nearsighted, he was beaten, he was socially rejected, a lot of the stuff that we deal with in our lives. And God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Stop right there. This is incredible. He said, look, my grace is sufficient. My grace is enough for you. My grace is enough. And then He said, listen, I'm going to make it specific. The areas that you're weak in, and that's what Paul was talking about. Paul was talking about his weakness. Man, he might have been talking as a single man and his approach to women. Man, he might have been, he's just crying out to God. He kept crying out to God. And God said, listen, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is enough for you. He said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. See, that's why we can't be hammering on our personal or other people around us, the weakness they have in their life. Because we all have them, and here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping your weakness is glaring to you. See, I think it's important for us to identify our strengths, and then I think it's really important for us to identify our weaknesses. Why? Because I'm going to trust God's grace, and I'm going to trust His sufficiency, and I'm going to trust the enoughness of God, that God's enough. That's the area I'm weak in. Man, God's enough, that in my weakness is made His perfect strength. Where Paul goes and he says, listen, I'd rather be weak than strong in an area. Why? Because God's going to perfect in me through His strength in my life. Therefore, most gladly, I'd rather boast in my infirmities. I'd boast in my weakness that the power of Christ may rest upon me. See, that's what we have to realize. See, we've got to get fired up about it. The power of Christ has just rested upon our lives. And I'll just tell you this, God's grace is enough. See, here's what's interesting about this whole thing. See, the legacy of God in our lives is dispersed by His grace. That's why the Bible says, look, we're saved by grace, and that's of faith, and not of ourselves, lest anyone could boast. And Paul says, listen, I'm going to boast in my infirmities because His strength is made perfect in my weakness. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul writes and says, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. Underline that or highlight that. Or in your notes, just write, I'm sanctified. That means I'm set apart. That means, listen, I come out from under the curse that comes with the world. How many guys know anybody that's an addict? Can I see your hands? How many guys know anybody that's just drowning in debt? Can I see your hands? How many guys know anybody that's got really a spirit of illness and infirmity that's on their life? Can I see your hands? Let me just tell you what all that is. What all that is, it's so easy. Doubt and unbelief is produced from that. But faith comes by hearing God's promise. By hearing the word and hearing the word and hearing the word, having the word driven into our life. Man, God goes through our life with his word. He dredges out all the impurities and all the poisons and every bit of the curse. And you know what? Man, he fills us with every great thing that he's about. See, God sanctifies us. He sets us apart. He removes us, from out from under the curse that comes with the world. Man, why is there so much going on in the world? Because, man, the world has tribulation. Do you understand? The world is broken, and we're not here to fix it. Jesus came to free us, to save us from the power of the world. But listen, you've got to replace the power in your life. See, the Bible says that we're saved from darkness to light. Now listen, from the power of Satan to the power of the living God. See, us just accepting is different than us receiving the power of God. See, what I've got to do first is reject the power of Satan and receive the power of God. The Bible says, receive with gladness. Listen, allow the word to be implanted into my heart. See, may the God of peace separate you completely, completely separate. Man, the flu's coming around, coronavirus, I'm completely separate of it. Man, the turmoil on Wall Street, I'm completely separate from it. Man, I could look and say, well, you know what, Wall Street, but the Dow's increasing. I'm separate from it. Man, my investments, it's good news. I'm separate from it. Why? Because God's hands on what I invest in. Why? I'm separate from it. Why? Because the first tenth of the whole of my income goes to God's house. You know what that does? It sanctifies the other 90%. What does it do? It separates it out from everything that the world can eat. The world's not going to tarnish it. The world's not going to eat it. The world's not going to, it's not going to get rotted. Man, I think about it, all the stuff that you can watch now on the, I guess, I don't think you watch it on television anymore. I think you watch it on your iPad or your computer or your phone. That's how you young people watch those things. But even with the cartels, the billions of dollars that they had that just rotted, where they had it stored, it rotted. Do you understand? That's what all of our money does when we don't have it in the kingdom. Do you understand that? Man, what do we have to do? Man, I've got to get my tithe into the storehouse. I got to get my tithe into God's house. Why? Because now all the windows of heaven are open above my life. God rebukes the devourer from the midst of us. Man, some of you guys have just kind of partnered with the devourer because that tithe is not in the storehouse, and it's that simple. But see, what goes with the tithe is also Luke 6:38 that says, man, the 36 and 7 says, don't judge, don't condemn, forgive and give, and God will give back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over that men will give into your accounts. Do you understand there's people that work for this church that I can't help but bless? I can't, man, I'll just tell you, I gave Opetta a second raise this last year. I knew I had to. He said, no, Pastor. No, I already got a raise this year. That's what he said. He was trying to decline it. I said, I don't care. I'm just being led by the Spirit of God. But let me just tell you, that's what happens in your lives. See, you understand it? I don't know what Opetta does day in and day out. I just know who, listen, are you listening? I know who he is day in and day out. See, God's going to separate you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In another translation, and no, the next verse says that he who calls you is also faithful. He who calls you is also faithful. See, I know it's easy to say, well, you know, I know God's called me. I'm not sure what that call is. But no, let me tell you something. It doesn't matter. The knowing part of it doesn't matter. That you're called is what matters. Why? Because God's faithful to perform it. And you just keep that in front of you all every day of your life. And we go to another version of that. It says, now may the God of peace and harmony set you apart. Now listen, and he makes you completely holy. Now, how many of you guys in here for real? You're coming off the weekend, whatever it is. You feel like you're completely holy. See, that's why we don't trust what we see. We don't trust how we feel. We don't trust the mirror that you're getting ready in front of. No, you know what? God's word becomes the mirror of my life. Let me tell you what God's word does for me. God's word just depicts, he shows me, defines who I really am. This is who I am. Man, that God makes me completely holy. Why? He set me apart from the curse of the world. How many of you guys are planning on dying sick? I'll tell you, I was sitting here today because Chano brought it up that a couple years ago my dad ended up at his Super Bowl party with half of Tulsa, I might add. How many of you guys have been to one of Chano party? Yeah. It's not an intimate little deal. I mean, you're on the couch sitting like this and chips. And I could talk about that because Tara has no say in it. Tara doesn't get to say anything. Tara just opens the door and welcomes you in and it's apologetic in her heart because it's going to fill with, I'm going to move on. Why did I say that? Huh? Oh, my dad went to one of the Super Bowl parties. We left at halftime because we don't care about the teams because the next year the Eagles were in it and we really cared. I was even there. But I was thinking about my dad, how he finished his life. The strongest spiritual time of his life was the last 2 or 3 years because he was here. And I thought about that and I thought, wait, there were 4 generations of us here. And every one of those generations were just getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And my dad finished strong and didn't die sick. He went from life to life. He went to sleep one day and woke up in heaven. And that's the will of God for our lives. And we've got to see ourselves completely holy, see ourselves forgiven. And that forgiveness is so thorough throughout our lives. And verse 24 in the Passion Translation says, the one who calls you by name is trustworthy, will thoroughly complete his work in you. He calls you by name. See, what's amazing about this whole thing about God is that God loves you. And we'll think, oh, but hold it. God knows your name. He calls you by name. See, being confident of this very thing, that he has begun a good work in you, will complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus. If you're breathing, God's doing a work in you. So God loves you. God knows your name. And God's building you. See, that's what church does. Church builds people. That's why you're here. This is a community of builders. Man, people, I'm telling you, throughout this year, you're gonna be thinking, man, I gotta go build something. Because us building something matters. Us being a part of something that's so much bigger than who we are individually matters. Yeah, do I want my money in it? Yes. Do I want my sweat in it? Yes. Do I want my family in it? Absolutely. Man, I think about my family. I think about oh my gosh, how amazing it is. How amazing my kids are, amazing my grandkids are. How amazing and they're all connected here. But the idea of that is it couldn't have happened outside of here. We weren't rolling the dice. I'm telling you, every single day, every week, every month, every year of my life, of Sandy's life, our kids' lives in this church, the deck is stacked every day. They run into somebody, and the whole idea of it is what? To make us better. See, Ephesians 2:10, Paul writes, it says, we are his workmanship. That means we have great design. That means we're unique. And you know what I love about God's church? We're diverse. Man, on the stage, it looks like the United Nations half the time. No, and we live in a flyover state in America. We live in the heart of America. We're not in New York or LA. We're not at Seattle or Miami. Man, we're in Tulsa. We're in the heartland. And you think about the diversity here. See, the country doesn't think about diversity when it thinks about the heartland. Man, and you just stand at the door and watch people come in at 11, just shake people's hands. It's every color, it's every size, it's every shape, it's every age. It's just amazing to me. It's so diverse. Where is workmanship? Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. Listen, that we should merely, we don't have to work them. He's doing the work. We just walk them out. We walk in them. I'm created, there's an intended life God has for us, and it's unpacked clearly to us by his promises. By whose stripes, finish that verse with me, you were healed. Unpack that one. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Unpack that one. Why? I believe the church is the answer. I believe that, and I'm going to say it differently probably than you've ever heard it, but the church, the community of church is the answer. But I think we get sloppy when we don't define that. Because there's nothing magical about church. They're everywhere. There is something about the right church. See, that's how you have to look at it. Are you in the right place? And how do you determine that? You determine that by two things: culture and language. Culture's what we do. Language is what and how we say. That we mean what we say. That we can back up what we say. That we can stand on what we say. The last thing I want to do is get up here and say something that can be corrected. I'm not just talking about things I've heard here. There's incredible messages out there everywhere, I think. No, I only talk about what I can live, what I can walk out. No matter what I see, no matter how I feel, proclaiming and standing on God's promises in community is the answer. Can't do it on your own. You don't want to be a part of a church that one guy, especially you, is the decision maker. See, what God's built here, the community God's built here, you could dust what happens at this church for fingerprints and maybe go weeks without finding any of mine. And I think that's important. I think what God wants to do, and God showed me something this week. I'll tell you, it's funny. I got a financial report, which I get a couple times a week. And I was in the New Orleans airport, and I was going through the emails that I'd missed for a few days, and I opened up the financial report for January for our church. And oh my gosh, and it just hit me. It hit me that what God has done at Guts Church is he's taken the hierarchy and he's brought it to all of our levels. And what that hierarchy is influence. See, wherever you are, whomever you are, whomever, Jimmy, whomever you are, God's taken the hierarchy of his community and he's put it in a place where you might have to reach a little bit, but it's within arm's reach of you getting it, that you can touch it. Frankie, you can touch the heart hierarchy of the church. It's not up in some ivory tower. The hierarchy of God's church has come and dwelt among us. This community helps people live in God's promises. Yeah, but are you saying I'm not going to get any bad news? No, I'm saying you are. In this world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Jesus overcame the world. Oh my gosh. He separated us completely from the curse that's carried in the world. Man, you understand? God wants you to live 2020 without any strife. So how do you do that? You look away from it, you don't lend your ear to it, and you definitely don't ever speak it. Don't. Bible says a fool's right in his own eyes. Man, I'll tell you, I want to be slow to speak this year. I want to be quick to hear this year. I want to be slow to wrath this year, because that's the will of God. I don't want to complain or murmur, because that's the will of God for me in my life. I'm not going to gossip this year, period. I've been a party to conversations with guys that were in that service where it says, I'm not going to gossip. And when something comes out, there's guys that say, wait, is this gossip? It's like, it's not for me, because I'm not going to be party to it. This could be real easy. It's a real easy choice for me. If it walks like a duck, if it walks like gossip and it quacks like gossip, it's gossip. I'm out. God, we love you and we praise you. God, I thank you today for this incredible group of people. God, this people of supernatural influence. Just open your heart and receive the influence that God has for you. That's where it starts. It doesn't start with your resume. It starts with God's promise.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.